So I have this love-hate relationship with fruit. Fruit, are you guys like fruit, vegetable people? You know, there's certain things that you know you're supposed to eat, right? Fruits and vegetables, you're supposed to eat all the healthy stuff you need to, and this love-hate relationship is that dichotomy. And so after Thanksgiving dinner, I'm sure you've partied and you've had a good time, you've feasted and ate some things that you shouldn't have eaten, and yet maybe it continues today, maybe it's continuing throughout this whole season, but you know, I always look at my eating habits and I'm thinking, do I always eat the right way? Do I eat enough fruit in my life? Do I eat enough vegetables? All that healthy stuff. Or do I like the chocolates and the desserts and all that fun stuff? As I was thinking about this week, because it is, it's hard. You see all this stuff around the Thanksgiving table. And so we are so blessed with this amazing, amazing array of food, but yet I have this love-hate relationship with fruit. I love it because it's good for me and I know I need to eat more of it and all that stuff, but sometimes you're just not in the mood to eat fruit, right? Sometimes you're not in the mood. You want to eat the good stuff, the stuff that tastes good, the sugary stuff, the fatty foods. And anyways, anybody else hungry this morning? I'm sorry, I opened with this. And so as I was thinking about this morning, it really applies to really what I wanted to talk about today. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, we're talking about fruit today. We're talking about fruit, but not really the kind of fruit that we eat. John chapter 15, one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it's so poignant, it's so right there, it's so on point. Let's take a look. So if you want to turn there, we're going to read 11 verses or so this morning. If you want to follow along, if you want to earmark it in your Bible on your phone, this is a great passage of Scripture to study because we will not have enough time today to go through all that's in here, but we're going to just touch base on a lot of this. So John chapter 15, starting with verse 1, I'm in the ESV if you are wondering. I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy be in you, and your joy may be full. And so Jesus is just not, I mean, he's not, he's talking in really cool word pictures, right? We understand what fruit is. Back in that era, in those days, they knew what vines and grapes were. That was the culture. They knew what the vine meant. They knew what pruning was. They were gardeners. They were agrarian, if you will, that culture of agriculture. So they understood this beautiful word picture that Jesus is talking about, a vine dresser. Well, we say gardener or farmer or whatever in our today's society. But as this is he's simply talking to us and to his disciples and saying, he is the true vine. Jesus is the vine. And so at its very fundamental level, Jesus was saying that fruitlessness or fruitfulness is his goal, and we got to be careful to not be fruitless. Fruitfulness is our goal for us. It's the goal for us is to be fruitful. At this very fundamental level, Jesus is just simply using this beautiful word picture of fruit, being fruitful as Christians. You see, in this passage, he identifies two different branches,
two different kinds of branches. You see, the one branch that bears no fruit, and the other branch that bears fruit. And there's two different things that happen to those branches. The one that doesn't bear fruit, Jesus says, he cuts and gets rid of and discards and puts those branches in a pile to be thrown in the fire. That's one set of branches. The other branches are the ones that are producing fruit, and he also has some things in store for those branches. You see, those branches get pruned, and that pruning process can be difficult. That pruning process can be interesting, but yet those who are producing fruit are pruned so that more fruit can be produced. And so if you've ever done any kind of farming or any kind of growing or gardening or everything, you understand what it means to prune and to discard the fruit or the fruitless branch. I've got a tree in my backyard. It's a pretty good-sized tree. I was telling my wife the other day that, you know what, this tree is dying. It's dead. It's like, you know, when the woodpeckers hit it and you can just see it. It's coming down whether we like it or not. And so it's my decision, my choice, whether to take this tree early, because it's still got a couple of branches that maybe are showing some leaves and things, but I know it's inevitable. That tree's either coming down by my hand or the hand of God. And so I think I really need to take this tree down because it's simply not producing fruit, and it's unhealthy because guess what? It's like literally right behind my house. And it will be very unhealthy for me if that tree falls on my house. So therefore, I'm going to take that thing down. I'm going to cut it up and make it firewood. And so as I think about this, as Jesus is describing the branches that don't produce fruit, not a great future for those branches. And if you followed in Scripture today, Jesus says that you are the branches. I am the branches. We are the branches. He is the vine. I love this. I mean, the Holy Spirit just moving today because I'm thinking of these words, the I ams, right? I mean, the I am. Jesus says, I am the vine. And what this means, we're going to dig deep into this a little bit today, but I want us to understand that even these, the idea of Jesus being the vine, Jesus being that source of nutrients for us as the branches. You know, there's been a history of unfruitfulness. There's been a history of unfruitfulness in the Christian world ever since Israel, even. Isaiah chapter 5, way back in the Old Testament, says, "What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for grapes, why did it yield only bad?" Jeremiah, another prophet in the Old Testament, chapter 2, says, "I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine?" So fruitlessness, unfruitfulness, if you will, in Israel has been throughout history that it's the grand story of being fruitful or being fruitless. If you see it, we've woven throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and this idea of bearing fruit is so very important for us. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he says it this way, and I quote, "Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, the agonized, the heart of humanity, and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go and stand by the gates of hell. Hear the damned plead for you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. Then look at Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join his heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world." You see, William Booth understood what it meant to help, to be fruitful, to help bring people out of the fires of hell. Understanding that it is our job, it is our goal, it is our destiny, if you will, that we as Christians produce fruit. Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit," you see, every branch does not bear fruit will be cut. You see, I want to know what I want to be remembered by fruitfulness. I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered by fruitfulness. And I hope that as I talk this morning, as we read scripture, as we seek out Holy Spirit and what he's trying to speak to us today, is that you would say the same thing after you leave from here to this morning. And the goal is for you to say, I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to be somebody who is bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. You see, what will you be remembered for? If you think about it, as somebody looks at you and says, wow, that person was a Christ-like person. That person went to church. That person had accepted Jesus in their life. Or will they say, wow, look at the fruit that they produced. Look at all of the many things that they had produced in the name of Jesus. Look at how many things that they have accomplished. How much fruitfulness was in their life. I want to be that type of person. I want to be a person that is fruitful. As I read this passage of Scripture, I find this correlation that if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, that equals fruitfulness. If you are a disciple or a follower or a believer or a whatever the word would be, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, it equals fruitfulness. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. He paints this picture in John chapter 15. He said in verses 5 through 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and to so prove to be my disciples. I mean, if you understand what that means, this is like mind-blowing. And as Jesus is teaching this, I can only imagine what others around him are thinking. Let's go back one more slide. I want to read that passage, verses 5 through 8. One more slide. There we go. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, I in him. He is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And so to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must bear fruit. I hope we get that. Should I say it again? We need to be bearers of fruit. We need to be people that are bearing fruit. And so I want to just kind of ask the question today, what does it look like to bear fruit? I mean, hopefully you're asking yourself that same question. Because as I read the text today, I look back into myself and say, what does it look like? Am I a fruit bearer? Am I a person that's bearing fruit in my relationship with Jesus Christ? And so what I do, I went to this, as I was thinking, I asked myself that question, I went to Google. Great source, great spiritual source. And so I said, I just simply Googled it to see what came up. What does Christian fruit look like? What does Christian fruit look like? And this is what it said. And I thought, well, sure, I agree with this, so I want to share it. Fruit includes, like, Christ-like character. That's pretty good. To have Christ-like character, I mean, what's your character? Someone said character is who you are when you're alone. Character is who you are when you're all by yourself. Do you make moral, wise, Christ-like decisions when no one's looking? I mean, are there secret sins in your life? Or is there something that when you're alone, I mean, do you have Christ-like character both here on Sunday morning when you talk to everybody and put the smiley face on as you are when you're at home? Christ-like character, I like that one. That's fruitfulness. That's fruitfulness. How about a life characterized by good works? Good works are okay. I mean, we're not driven in our salvation experience by good works. We can't do anything more. We can't do anything less for Jesus to save us more or to save us less or to love us more, to love us less. But I say fruitfulness, it is. You know, we can have good works. We can do things for people. We can have things in our lives that show others that we are Christian. I mean, we can love people. You know, we can help people. We can encourage people. I mean, so as fruit, your life can be characterized by good works. another thing that I found, and this was pretty good. I thought a faithful witness. Like do you have a faithful witness to those around you? In other words, if I were to ask the closest people in your life, if I were to ask the people who you work with day in and day out, if I were to go and interview them and say, well, how are they at work? I mean, are they faithful to their Jesus? Are they faithful to the calling that they have as a Christian? Do they live like Christ? Are they nice? Are they enjoyable to be around? Or do they blend in with everybody else around them? That's your faithful witness to Jesus Christ. And so I think that's fruitfulness. If people are around you and they simply say, hey, that person, I don't know what they're thinking, but I don't see that they're any different than anybody else that works here. Then we got to think about that. Are we fruitless? Or are people, what are they going to say about you at work? How's your witness? How's your witness for Jesus Christ? Another thing I looked up, and it was a pair of lips that praise God. I thought that was kind of cool. Lips that praise God. I mean, that's fruitfulness. Are we praising God? Are we constantly speaking good to the Lord? Are we honestly, is our dirty laundry prayer list a lot bigger than our worship and thanks? Guilty sometimes, right? We could be guilty of that. Are we continually to praising God for everything, even the bad things, even the garbage that happens in life? Thank you, God, because I know you're faithful. Thank you, God, because you are good. I mean, have you experienced God this week? Remember, the scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. So if you've been thanking him a little bit more because of the season of Thanksgiving, I trust, excuse me, I trust that you've experienced him. I'm talking too much. Be a glass of water. All right. Thank you. Well, this is nasty. Excuse me. It's coffee with creamer. So, do your lips praise God? I mean, is he always on your lips? Is the praise of God always on your lips? And then another one I saw, generous giving. I mean, are you a generous person? Are you a person that is generous? Is the generosity just flowing from who you are? Thank you. You can have your nasty creamer filled, whatever that is. Generosity. Generosity, that is so vital. That's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in Christ. Are you a generous person? This has nothing to do with tithes and offerings or what we do here as a church, but are you a generous person? Or is money something that is your idol? Everything is about money. Everything is about how you can keep more money in your bank account. Or are you a generous person when you find someone in need that you're just, hey, here, I want to help? I mean, that's fruitfulness in Christ. That's fruitfulness in Christ. Another thing I thought of when you asked the question, what's Christian fruit? What's Christian fruit? Well, we got to see what is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God's Spirit. So this is more of a result of having God's Spirit in our hearts. And the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, of course. And the fruit of his Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, that's fruit. So if you're lacking in these, if you're lacking in the fruit of the Spirit, you're not being fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're lacking in that department, maybe you need to experience more of God's Holy Spirit in your life. And so we want to be a people of fruitfulness. You know, there are a lot of branches. There's a lot of branches that I've met. I've met a lot of branches
within the church, not necessarily this church, but within the church as a whole, there's a lot of branches who are not bearing fruit. There's a lot of branches that are not bearing fruit. Jesus had pointed them out. They're simply calling them out. If you're not bearing fruit, he will cut them off from the vine. And so as we think of those branches, they call themselves churchgoers or religious, or they may even call themselves Christian. They go to church, they may read their Bibles, they pray, they may even do good works, and they kind of, on the outside, they have this appearance of Christian or churchgoer or what have you, but there's no fruit. And Jesus really calls this out, that you can be good, you can do good, you can go to church, you can do all of this great stuff in the eyes of man, but if you are not producing fruit. Here's another one. I mean, this is one that's not really preached very often because it doesn't make a preacher very popular. Here's a passage of scripture. I'm just going to read. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. This is Jesus saying again, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." I can stop there, probably. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" And then will I declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." In other words, clip. You've just been cut off the vine. Right? I mean, so Jesus is again reiterating the fact that there will come a time when you will be judged as branches. And this is the one that just, I'm like floored when I hear this and I read this. I'm like, wow. I mean, how do you preach this stuff and make people feel good about your sermon? You just don't. And so I just get over it. Because I read this myself and I go, ooh, this hurts. On that day, when the day of judgment comes, they will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?" And then Jesus said, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me." And so what we have to do is understand this huge word, "I never knew you." I mean, I think if we can put a correlation to the fact that if you are not in the vine, if you are not connected to the vine, if you are not in Christ, being nurtured, being fed, being joined, what another word I can imagine, being linked together with Christ as the vine. If you are not joined with him, he says, "Depart from me." And so we want to be people of fruitfulness. And so when we think of this lifestyle of connection, this lifestyle of connecting, these words kind of come to mind, and we read these from passages of Scripture, but abiding in the vine, abide in Christ. It's remaining in him. It's not just about connecting once a week. It's not about just coming to church and just reconnecting with God and then disconnecting as we leave those doors and then going and doing whatever you need to do throughout the week and then coming back and reconnecting. I don't like, here, I man, I'm telling you, I better drink some more. I don't like the idea of church as recharging your batteries. I mean, we've said that before. I've said it before. Coming to church to recharge your batteries. I mean, that's like using your cell phone charger, and we plug it in, and you recharge, and then you unplug it, and you go and do your own thing, and you use your phone all day long. You use your phone all day long, and then you come back at night, and you plug your phone back in, or if you're cool, you can put it on a little pad, and it, whatever. You recharge your batteries. I don't like the idea of church coming to recharge your batteries. You know why? Because what it ends up doing is that we rely upon the church as our phone charger. We rely upon this moment right here as our battery recharger.
And therefore, you can do whatever you want throughout the week, but as long as you come back on Sunday morning just to get recharged, that does not, that does not say that we abide in the vine. So my point is that Jesus is saying abide with him. That's a daily, a moment, every minute connection. We've got to stay connected. We have to remain in him. We've got to be connected, not disconnect for a time, just to come back together to connect. We have to remain in him. Abide means camp out, stay, be always connected. Does that make sense? So yeah, I get the idea, right? I mean, it's cute. Let's come back together, recharge our batteries. I like that. That's fine. I understand what that means. But I don't want that to be our driving force as Christians, that we got to come back to church every Sunday just to refill our batteries. We've got to abide in the vine. We've got to stay connected and so close. We've got to depend on Jesus Christ every single day. So abiding, dependence on him. Everything is dependent upon staying close to him. Jesus talks about pruning. Some of the things in our lives that may not just belong in our lives, but we're still producing fruit, but yet the ones who he produces fruit, he says, they prune. So cutting off those little areas in our lives that really aren't producing fruit. Cut them off. Let God prune us. And then results should be fruitful. Results should be fruitful. Do you know that fruit is not optional, but fruit is natural? Fruit is not optional, but fruit is natural. I mean, and as we kind of think about this morning, we got to understand that it's not optional, but it should come naturally to us as Christians. Fruit should just flow. I was reading the other day in Mark, Jesus was hangry. He was hangry. He kind of like invented that word. I really believe it. In Mark, he was very hungry, the Bible says. And he goes up to this fig tree, and he was hungry. He wanted to eat something. And so the tree had no fruit on it at all. And what did Jesus do? Do you guys remember that? He cursed it. He's like, fig tree, may you never bear fruit again. And then what did he do? If you read on, I laughed out loud when reading the Bible. It's hilarious. He was so stinking hungry and mad at that fruit tree, he goes into the temple and starts throwing the tables all over. Remember that story? Jesus invented hangry. He didn't get anything to eat. So he starts throwing tables all over, makes a whip, anyway, I don't think that's why. But so he curses this fig tree, and he simply says, you know what? And so later, if you read on the story, it's a good read, it's fun. You'll see that this tree is like withered and died, and it's like Jesus cursed it. Wow. Don't you think Jesus would have been like, instead of using his power to like curse the fig tree to make it wither and die, wouldn't you think he'd be like, produce fruit? I'm hungry? I mean, I would have. If I were Jesus, I'd be like, I'm hungry, produce fruit. And it would have produced fruit. He could do that. But you see, it wasn't natural for that tree just to bear fruit magically. You see, what was natural for it wasn't for it to die and wither and be burned. See, that's the natural inclination of our humanity, naturally. But fruit isn't optional, folks. Fruit is not optional. So this morning, I hope that I conveyed enough for us as Christians. I mean, if you haven't heard anything, I love when people talk about this because I want to say this. So listen up. Listen to this point. If you haven't heard anything else from me this morning, from the Holy Spirit, is that there's only two kinds of branches. Only two. That's it. There's no in-betweeners. There's no, like, somewhere in the middle. There's no, like, hey, I just want to be a corn stalk. Nothing. There's two types of branches. You are either in the vine and producing fruit, or you're not. And that sometimes stinks. Let's just be honest. It's hard. I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching to myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm preaching to myself.
And so as I think about us as a church, I want to motivate us. I want to motivate myself. I want to make sure that I'm bearing fruit in the kingdom. I don't want to bear fruit and grow a great church or, you know, get a bunch of people in a building and have pretty places to worship. I want to be bearing fruit in the kingdom because I don't want to be cut off from the vine. So stay close to Jesus Christ. Stay close to him and bear fruit. It's not optional. It's not optional. You can't just opt out of that one as a Christian. So when I talk to new Christians, that are wondering what it means to be a Christian, this is where I kind of point them. I'm like, listen, you can't just pretend to be a Christian. You can't be on, you know, one foot here and one foot here. You've got to bear fruit. And it takes a lot at times. So Christianity can be tough, yes. But you know what? You guys are bearing fruit. I mean, are you raising great kids and are you raising children in Jesus? I mean, are you discipling people, right? I mean, how many people are you discipling? I know some of you out here are bringing people around you and you're pouring into them. Are you discipling people? That's fruit. I mean, are you sharing the gift that God has given you? I mean, passionately, like God has given you a gift. Are you sharing it with others to produce fruit? That's fruit right there. Keep going. Keep going. I just want to encourage you to stay connected to the vine today and be producers of fruit because I don't want to see anybody cut off. I don't want to see at the end of days like, oh no, what did we do wrong? Let's bear fruit. Let's bear fruit. Like I said, I don't have a lot of time today to talk about what your fruit looks like. But let's just pray about it. Let's seek Holy Spirit. God, where can I bear more fruit in my life? What gifts, abilities have you given me? What is it that I have that I can bear fruit so that I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in? Let's stand together. Let's not read the word today and like James talks about, you know, looking in the mirror and then walking away from there in the mirror and not remembering what you just saw. Let's listen to the word today. Let's listen to Holy Spirit. I would encourage you this morning to take a moment of just peace and quiet right where you are. Slow down this morning. Say, God, am I producing fruit? And if not, I want to stay connected to you. Let this be your prayer. I want to stay connected to you, and I want to be a person that bears much fruit for your kingdom. Whatever that may be, he's going to reveal it to you. He'll let you know what you need to do. Whatever that may be, just pray that prayer. It's a dangerous prayer, you guys. It's dangerous because he may just ask, he may answer your question today. Lord, I want to bear fruit. What do I need to do? Just pray that prayer if you're willing today. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss out. Lord, is there something that I need to do? Is there a step in a direction? Is there a different angle that I need to look at? Whatever it is, God, I pray that I would be a bearer of much fruit. Is it fear that I need to get rid of? Is it complacency that I need to get rid of? Lord, I want to be a bearer of much fruit. Lord, is there relationships that we need to cut off and be pruned? I want to be a bearer of much fruit. Is there things in our lives that need to be just eliminated? Is there a sin? Is there questionable gray areas in my life? Lord, I want to bear much fruit. Reveal that to us today, O Lord. If I'm dealing with something inappropriately, if there's relationship, whatever it is, God, I pray in our church today that your Spirit would just reveal to those things, reveal to those hearts this morning, if there's something in our lives that we've got to cut off and prune to be a bearer of much fruit, Lord, I pray you'd reveal it to us and give us the courage, the confidence, and the boldness to allow you and your Spirit to prune us. Whatever it may be, God, give us the boldness. Reveal that to us today. We want to be a church that bears much fruit.